بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. سورة التين، and teen is the fig, the fruit, figs, you know. And why does Allah Azza wa Jal call a surah fig? If you recite it, you will find that it is mentioned there. Allah says, and this chapter is chapter 95, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ. Allah swears by the fig and the olive. وَطُورِ سِينِينَ. And by Mount Sinai. وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. And by this city of security, that is Mecca. What Allah swears over, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. That verily we created man of the best mold, of the best structure. Now, give me the significance of swearing with olives and figs and Mount Sinai. Scholars say that Allah has sworn of three locations. Allah has sworn of the figs and olives. And where are these found? These are found in Palestine, in the land of Asham, in the holy or the blessed area. And this is where the message of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, Nabiullah Isa. So Allah swears about this location. And Mount Sinai, Tori Sinin, Tur and Sina, is where Allah gave the revelation to his messenger Moses, peace be upon him. And this land of security, this sacred land, Al-Haram, وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. And this is the location of the message that was given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah is swearing by the locations of the places of revelation of the three great religions of the world, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And these are the people of the book, because their books, though altered and changed, they're still present. Allah swears by the fact that Allah has created man in the best of structure, in the best of mold. Allah perfected our creation and gave us this intellect to think, to choose, and to act upon our choice. However, Allah says, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Despite the fact that Allah has given us this best of creation, then we reduced him to the lowest of the low. And this is in the case of the people who rejected Islam. Allah has reduced them to the lowest of the low. He took them to the lowest level possible because they are even worse than animals. Animals do what Allah created them to do. They don't have a choice. But man, when he chooses disbelief, when he chooses kufr, when he refuses to acknowledge the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal, when he says that there are many gods, who created the heavens and the earth from these thousands of gods you worship? They will all say Allah the Almighty. Okay, then why do you worship other gods with him? This means that you have something wrong up here, and that is why you will be reduced to the lowest of all law. And that is when you are admitted to hellfire, the lowest of all law, due to your disbelief. But there is an exception. And Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. Except those who believe and do righteous deeds, then they shall have a reward without end. So Allah created the human being in the best of form. Those who chose not to believe, they will be thrown into the lowest of all law, and that is hellfire, the lowest of all. Yet those who believe and do righteous deeds, Allah Azza wa Jal would give them endless reward. Reward without any boundaries at all. So if this is the case, فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ, then what causes you to deny the recompense? You, man, Allah created you in the best of form. How do you disbelieve that after you die, Allah would resurrect you and punish you? Allah would hold you accountable for your deeds. How is it possible that you deny such a well-known fact? After all this perfection around you, do you think Allah would let you go for free, no punishment and no reward? Nay, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ, is not Allah the best of judges? Indeed, Allah is. And that is why, as a human being whom Allah created and perfected, you should acknowledge this fact and you should only worship Allah the Almighty. And in this beautiful surah, we know that Allah is highlighting figs and olives to us. So we should take care of these trees and plant them and benefit from their fruits, because definitely they include a lot of good to the humans. And this beautiful surah is to be recited in Isha prayer, as in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when he used to prolong the prayer of Isha, when he led the prayer with his people, and the Prophet told him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he should not prolong the Isha prayer because people have needs. They are ill, they are elderly, they are those who have things to do. So recite in short surahs like سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى and وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ. Moving on to the following surah, and that is Surah Al-Alaq. Now Surah Al-Alaq, without any difference of opinion among scholars, is the first verses of the Quran that were revealed to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. It was when the Prophet, as you all know, صلى الله عليه وسلم, used to spend nights in the cave of Hira, and he used to worship Allah Azza wa Jal by pondering upon his universal signs, because he did not have a religion to worship Allah by. He knew that Allah was one, and he was praising Allah, but not in a way that was told to him. He just simply knew that there was only one God worthy of being worshipped. So he used to spend the nights in that cave pondering upon these universal signs and miracles of Allah Azza wa Jal. Until one night, and that is the night of decree, Laylatul Qadr, Jibreel, the archangel, came to him and gave him the revelation. And he said to him, Iqra, recite. And the Prophet said, I don't know how to recite. I'm not learned. I can't read. So he kept on shaking him and saying, recite, recite. And then he revealed the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord who has created. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who created everything. So Allah is telling His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, read in the name. This is why whenever we do something, we say Bismillah, in the name of Allah. When we slaughter, when we begin to eat, when we walk into the masjid, or we leave the homes, we always say Bismillah. Whenever we do anything, we say, in the name of Allah, I begin to eat, I begin to slaughter, I begin to do this, I begin to recite the Quran. So Allah is telling His Messenger to recite, to read, in the name of Allah who had created. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ. Created what? Allah says, has created man from a clot, from a leech. And this is one of the stages of the creation of the human being. Being a leech, which is a blood clot that looks like the insect, a leech, when you see it in the very beginning, of its formation. We have a short break, so stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So Allah Azza wa Jal is telling His Messenger, these are the first verses ever to be revealed to him. Iqra, read. And this shows you that reading has great value in Islam. Allah created man out of a blood clot. It looks like a leech. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. Repeating the order for him to read, and your Lord is the most generous. And this is undoubtable. This is without any doubt that Allah is the most generous. And if you look and try to count the favors and blessings of Allah upon you, you will never be able to come close to doing so. So Allah Azza wa Jal is the most generous. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqa al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi 'allama bil qalam, 'allama al-insan ma lam ya'lam. So it is Allah the Almighty who has taught by the pen, taught the human being, taught the man that which he knew not. And this shows you again that it is Allah Azza wa Jal who taught man how to read, and He taught man how to write. And this shows you that the very beginning verses of the Quran that talked about reading, about the pen, about the writing, that Islam highlights knowledge that can be acquired through reading and writing. And it is Allah who taught man what he knew not. So if you think that you have knowledge, think again. Who gave you this knowledge? It is me. I learned it. I read and I wrote. No, it is not you. Allah says in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. It is Allah Azza wa Jal who got you out of your mother's womb when you did not know a thing. It is Allah who gave you the sight, the hearing, and the hearts to comprehend and to understand things with. So whenever you think that you're strong and knowledgeable, always remember that Allah Azza wa Jal taught you what you did not know. And every single moment of your life, you learn something that is new. And nothing in the Quran where Allah Azza wa Jal orders His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to ask Allah for more, except knowledge. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. And say, oh my Lord, increase me in knowledge. So the knowledge that you seek is the one that gets you closer to Allah. But also, the one that makes life easy for you. And this shows you the importance of knowledge in Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Kalla, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. Nay, verily man does transgress all bounds because he considers himself self-sufficient. This is a fact. People, when they see that they are self-sufficient, when they think that they don't need anyone, they transgress. They go and exceed all boundaries in bad and evil things. Similar to what was mentioned in Surah Al-Balad, that the man says, I have a lot of money. I have spent countless amount of money. Allah says that, do you think that this is not going to be something against you and you're not going to be held accountable? No one saw what you did? This is exactly the same with man. Whenever we are healthy and we have money, we think we are self-sufficient. We don't need Allah. We don't need anyone. Subhanallah, the minute a virus hits you and you become sick, if one of your tooth start to ache, no one sees that, but you feel it. Immediately, you go back to your roots and start praying to Allah, oh Allah, cure me, oh Allah, save me, oh Allah, give me health and restore my health back and I will never be evil again. But when you're rich and healthy and have nothing to worry about, then you will transgress. كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى إِنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الرُّجْعَى. Surely unto your Lord is the return. So don't be happy with what you have. Don't be boastful with what Allah has given you, because to Him you shall return. And He will hold you accountable to these things that you had done. Then Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about one of those who has greatly transgressed and went way beyond all acceptable boundaries. Allah tells us about Abu Jahl, Pharaoh of this nation, one of the most punished in hell, this evil person, may Allah curse him. Allah says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى. Have you seen him who prevents عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى, a slave when he prays? This is an incident that took place. Whenever the Prophet ﷺ, when he was in Mecca, in the Makki period, he was not permitted to fight back or to retaliate. So the Prophet ﷺ used to go to the Haram near the Kaaba and used to pray on his own. And this man, this evil person, Abu Jahl, would intimidate the Prophet ﷺ, would threaten him, and he would shout at the dignitaries of Mecca, saying, how do you allow such a man to pray in peace? By Allah, if I see him put his forehead on the ground, I will step on his neck and I will punish him. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى. Have you seen him who prevents a slave when he prays? He forbids someone from praying to Allah Azza wa Jal. How evil can a person get? Who is he harming? What am I harming when I bow and prostrate to Allah Azza wa Jal? They say, oh, this intimidates people. Why? I'm praying. Prayer is peace. It's the same thing that we unfortunately hear of when people, and they claim that they have freedom of religion. When a man stands up in an airport or in an airplane and he wants to pray, he's unarmed, he doesn't have anything, he's been checked like a gazillion times before he boarded the plane, but it shows you the hatred and enmity towards Islam and the Muslims. If he prays in peace, he would be prosecuted, he would be thrown off the plane, maybe he would be prevented from flying for 2 or 3 years, maybe they will throw him in jail. Why? Because he was praying. Subhanallah. It shows you the mentality of the Islamophobic people. Allah says, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ عَلَى الْهُدَى. Tell me, if he is on the guidance of Allah, أَوْ أَمَرَ بِالتَّقْوَى, or enjoins piety. So, you who deny such a person from praying, don't you know that this worshipper is on guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal? Don't you know that he only orders and instructs and enjoins piety and righteousness and virtue and everything that is good? How dare you do such a thing? أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Doesn't he know that Allah sees everything that he does? Don't you think? Can't you think clearly? Allah then warns that person and those like him. كَلَّا لَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهِ لَنَسْفَعًا بِالنَّاصِيَةِ. Nay, if he does not stop his transgression, we will catch him by the forelock. And this is in reference to what happened to Abu Jahl in the Battle of Badr, where he was killed and then was pulled by his head and thrown in his grave in a well. So if he doesn't stop this, Allah Azza wa Jal is warning him that this is what will happen to you. A lying, sinful forelock. And of course, he will be thrown into hell, taken by his forelock, with the disbelievers. Because at the time, he said that no one is stronger than me and no one is more proud and influential than me. Allah says, فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَهُ. Let him call upon his counsel. Let him call upon his helpers, his aides, those who help him and assist him. سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَهُ. Because we will call the guards of hell. And when he heard that there are 19 guardians and guards in hell, he said, I'll take care of two of them, you take care of the rest. Thinking that he's so strong and powerful. He said, I'll call my tribe. They will come to my assistance. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells him, we will call the guards of hell. Kalla, la tuti'hu, wasjud waqtarib. Nay, O Muhammad, do not obey him, fall prostrate and draw near to Allah. So don't give any attention to those who intimidate you. Don't give any attention to those who prevent you from praying. Pray because you're doing it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. A lot of the new Muslims, a lot of the reverts, they're intimidated by the shaitan, by the devil. And they're afraid of expressing, that is, announcing, proclaiming their Islam. So they say, can we pray in the bathroom? We cannot tell our parents because we are afraid that they may retaliate. This is all from shaitan. You chose the religion that you believed in, that you think that is the right choice, then announce it. Show them that this is the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. You may find hardship in the beginning, but then it will be a smooth way to paradise with the grace of Allah. This is how the Prophet ﷺ suffered in the beginning. You're not better. You must suffer as well. Tolerate what your parents may do to you and try to be at the highest level of kindness and goodness to them. Be respectful, be obedient. And few days, few weeks, few months, they will inshallah accept you and accept your religion. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.